It's The Record on KUOW, and I'm David Hyde.
I'm Ross Reynolds. And how dare you play the theme to Portlandia? What are you talking about? We're talking about Seattle here. We're broadcasting from Pioneer Square, from 410 Occidental Way South here. And we're talking about the neighborhood, about where it's come and where it's going to. In 2009, people were asking, could Pioneer Square be saved? Businesses were moving out, including the iconic Elliott Bay Book Company, leaving for Capitol Hill. But in the last few years, the neighborhood has undergone a boom of sorts. Lots of high-tech companies have moved in, restaurants and bars, Rainbow Rain Shadow Meats, Thai street food from Little Uncle, and lots more is happening. But there's still a lot of empty buildings here. Not empty buildings, but empty places. Like the one we're in, just a beautiful brick-lined space, not occupied as of yet. Part of the what's going on to change this is the Alliance for Pioneer Square. It's an economic development, business-focused group, and Leslie Smith is the executive director, and she joins me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And I do want to remind people that we are going to have the Conversation News Quiz coming up, and if you'd like to play, just stop by 410 Occidental Way South and look for the woman in the lighthouse coat. Let's talk a little bit about this neighborhood and people who come to it. I remember coming here for the first time. It reminded me of the Back Bay in Boston, some of the historic neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. And that's no accident. This is not only a historic district, but you were telling me the first?
Yes. In the late 60s, early 70s, the iconic Seattle Hotel, which used to sit where the sinking ship garage is now, was torn down to make... So we had a beautiful old hotel that was torn down to make way for what could be described as an unattractive parking garage.
Could be. Could be.
And it actually was the start of the preservation movement in Seattle. And although there are neighborhoods in the country older than this one, it is the first designated historic district by the national... It was designated by the Park Service all the way back then.
Let's talk about what one sees at street level when you walk through the neighborhood. As I mentioned, there are lots of new restaurants, but there are also some empty storefronts like the one that we're in. What kind of occupancy do you have in the neighborhood right now? Are there a lot of places like the one we're sitting in right now?
There are still a number of empty retail spaces in the neighborhood, and there is a variety of reasons for that. Historically, the retail in Pioneer Square has been high-end home furnishings, art galleries. That, as a market segment, takes longer to bounce back after the Great Recession. We also have been in significant construction for the last 5 years, getting ready for the tunnel machine to start and the viaduct to come down. And that construction will last in this neighborhood for another 10 years with the tunnel, the viaduct, the replacement of the seawall, and then the building of the new fabulous waterfront. And so some people look at the neighborhood and think, I'll come when all that's done. Other people are looking at the neighborhood and thinking, I want to get in now.
Mm-hmm. But before rents go up, perhaps.
Before rents go up, and just to be part of this renaissance that is going on.
Now, you were telling me 19,000 people work here, many more than live in the neighborhood.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And what are the main areas of that they work in beyond the restaurants and the retail we see on the street level?
Historically, we've had architects and attorneys and accountants, and we still have big market segments of that. We still have a lot of attorneys here, I'm sure in part because of the proximity to the county courthouse. But it is also one of the major tech hubs. It was actually written about this week in the Atlantic Cities as one of the tech hubs that is in an urban core, that this zip code is significant for that. We actually have a tech map of all the tech companies, and that's all the way from two-person startups through Capital One Share Builder, which is a huge online bank, or EMC Isilon, which is one of the world's largest large data companies. They are located here, all the way down to Pixar has a studio here, and there are game company startups. There's also a large group of what we kind of refer to as the creative class, where they are designers and branding firms. Now, most of their work is done these days online, but they aren't necessarily people who are out there writing code, which we also have custom cloud software computing people.
Well, it's such an interesting neighborhood because it's got so many attributes, so much architectural beauty. Its location is fantastic. It's close to the water, and it's got these very different elements living here. As we've been talking about for this last couple of hours, many people are homeless who live in this neighborhood, who yes. live in the missions, who are kind of on the street. And at the same time, as you were just saying, people in the high-tech industry, people who are doing very well, people who we talk to who are living in beautiful lofts here. Is there anything in between? Is this either a neighborhood of haves or have-nots, or is there affordable, a middle place to be in Pioneer Square?
Well, it's interesting. The two largest apartment buildings in the neighborhood, the Quintessa, which is on the corner of the 2nd Avenue Extension and Yesler, and the Loman, which is on the corner of 1st and Cherry, are both large apartment buildings, and they are actually considered workforce housing. And then we have three buildings that are low-income artist live workspace. And then we have about five or six buildings where you can just rent beautiful brick-walled, you know, lofts and apartments. There are always waiting lists for those apartments. And those are market-rate rents, just mm-hmm. like if you were renting in Belltown or Capitol Hill or somewhere else. The North Lot development, when it is completed, will bring about 750 essentially some workforce, but primarily market rate housing to the neighborhood.
And when you say workforce, that's not market rate, that's less than market rate?
It is people who make up to 60% of the median income for King County, which mm-hmm. is a significant income. Mm-hmm. So some of the people who work in restaurants downtown or are in those kind of service industries would qualify to live in what is considered workforce housing.
If you just tuned in, we're in the Washington Shoe Building, broadcasting live here at 410 Occidental Way South. A beautiful building and a beautiful inside space. It's kind of echoey. It's a little bit empty right now, but giant tall ceilings and brick walls, and the sun's finally come out today, so it's looking really nice. We're going to be talking to some more people who work in the neighborhood coming up, but right now, someone who's organizing people who work and do business here and trying to encourage more of it, Leslie Smith, the executive director of the Alliance for Pioneer Square. Talked to a lot of people when we were down here a couple of weeks ago, and I said, what are the kind of issues here? And one of the things they all talked about was parking.
Yes, parking is an issue. Historically, when people thought about coming to Pioneer Square, whether you were coming down to visit a restaurant or go shopping, would park in the street parking under the viaduct, which was also all kind of considered the retail parking. Right. Well, that has all been gone now for several years. We actually have a number of parking garages in the neighborhood, and part of the mitigation money from the viaduct project has been used to purchase reduced rate parking in a number of those parking garages. So people can park up to 4 hours for $3 an hour, which is actually cheaper than on-street parking in the neighborhood. And if they go to downtownseattleparking.com, it lists all of the parking garages for Pioneer Square, as well as designates which ones of them have the subsidized rate. And then we are also providing free parking on First Thursday.
Yeah, for the art walk. I did not know that until I came down here today, which is something a lot of people like to go to. So there are free parking opportunities for that. You know, the viaduct is coming down over there. We were just talking a little bit earlier. Bertha is boring its way towards this neighborhood under the earth, creating this tunnel. Is there a lot of anxiety about what it's going to mean in this interim process when the viaduct is coming down?
I don't know if anxiety is the right word. There's a lot of stress on the neighborhood just from construction impacts, from streets being changed and the loss of parking and the noise and the dust and things that don't always run as smoothly as project managers would hope. I think that by and large the neighborhood is hanging together. Part of the plan that launched the Alliance in June of 2010 was an acknowledgement by the city and the neighborhood of a set of strategies that needed to happen so this neighborhood could thrive during the many years of construction that we were going to be under. No one wanted to end up with a beautiful new waterfront and access to it and have Pioneer Square be a ghost town.
I got to say, I hurts my heart a little bit when I walk by the Elliott Bay Book Company space. beloved bookstore. It used to be one of my favorite places to go, and now it's not there. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. Thank you so much, Leslie Smith, Executive Director of the Alliance for Pioneer Square, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're broadcasting live from Pioneer Square. I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Record.